Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Yet another humdinger of a title today. I love it, I love it, I love it. COSATU has never understood that it owes its success to the free market. Wow, Sarah, that's a goodie. Explain.
Okay, basically it's this. Any trade union or trade union movement, it depends on in order to grow its membership, it depends on being able to approach as members, people who are employed. So the more business you have and the more business that is conducted and the more businesses that open, the more members you have. And then, or the more members you can try and recruit. And the more members you recruit, the more money you receive by way of monthly subscriptions. I'm using COSATU because, I'm using example of COSATU because it's in the alliance with the ANC. But one of the problems with the leftist unions in general is that they still express views about employers, about business, about the corporate world, like some sort of monster that is just going to make the lives of employees completely and utterly miserable, work them 20 hours a day, and exploit them in every possible way known to man. It's all couched in very sort of Marxist-type terms. And therein lies the problem, is that much as they may say this, business is not the enemy. And the COSATU in particular has been party to labor laws that have ensured that people are protected in ways that they weren't 30 or not so much 30, but 40 or 50 years ago. And if anyone should try and exploit someone, there are mechanisms to approach to try and deal with it. And the reason I raise that is because it's with this attitude that COSATU's general secretary, Becky Nchalichali, last week, on apparently Friday, after a meeting of NEDLAC with the president, said that the move to level 3 must not just be done in the interest of business. And I quote, "We cannot compromise life for the sake of just making money." Close quote. Now, let's put it this way. I think it's common knowledge by now that at the moment we are in the position of, do we save lives or do we save lives? And our economy couldn't afford to stay locked down even when we were locked down, because we already were on the economic back foot before this even happened. People desperately need to go to work. People desperately need to earn their wages and salaries. Companies need to be able to do business to earn the income necessary to pay those salaries. And for COSATU's members to retain their members, they need to be employed. And the chances are that very many companies are going to go to the wall because of the economics, and people will lose their jobs. And this sort of nasty, mean, leftist kind of, you know, just making money. My God, people would like to make anything that just keeps everyone, including the business owner and his or her employees, alive. And I'm just fascinated that it's a bit like the ANC in general and the SACP. Nothing shifts them from this goal of the socialist utopia. No realism. And it's interesting because the COSATU unions are almost entirely, not entirely, but almost entirely public sector unions, which means that their members will earn their salaries out of our taxes, whether they work or whether they don't work. Their union members, for example, in the bottling industry, they've got about 1,000 people in the bottling industry, are desperate to go back to work because their incomes are not guaranteed come what may. So thumbs down for them.
Yeah. And once again, COVID seems to have exposed fissures within the society, because there seems to be an undercurrent on all the media that one looks at the moment. Those who are not supportive of the ANC government seem to be alluding to the fact that something else is going on, that there seems to be a will to, create the socialist utopia that you've referred to a little while ago. Do you think that there's any truth to that?
We're speculating, but certainly the near certainly constitutional unconstitutionality of the lockdown laws and bodies point to the fact that an opportunity has been seized. And initially it was seized in the sense that the government did the right thing. The health minister was very open, very explanatory, and then it kind of disintegrated. It kind of disintegrated from there. What's interesting, I don't know if you, there was an article, I think it was in BizNews, I can't remember, by Gigi Alcock, who wrote the book on Cousinomics. And they did a survey, his organization did a survey. The only people who want the lockdown to continue are those people who are on grants, who fear that the grants may disappear once the lockdown ends. Otherwise, people who earn livings, they want the lockdown gone. And they want the lockdown gone for all the reasons that everyone wants the lockdown gone, to
feed
keep
their families
alive and keep growing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I hear you. Listen, it's an academic discussion. It's not academic at all in the South African context now. But I mean, unions have an important role to play. I think capitalism itself is not a moral philosophy. It's an economic philosophy. And I think it played an important part in moderating capitalism's excesses. But, now
absolutely.
I hear exactly what you're saying. And,
absolutely.
Sounds like it's a bit all out of balance. It'll be interesting to see who wins out. The problem is that our futures are completely and utterly dependent on who wins that fight. So yeah, it's not just wait and see. We're all invested. Anyway, sorry. As always, thank you so very much. And I can't wait for the headline next week.
God, but you're creating expectations that have got to be met.
Good. So you understand. Thanks for the time.
Okay. Well, cheers.
Then that's kind of how we get to 5 to 6.